Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at Psalm 103. And hopefully some of these slides will work. If not, not a big deal. Hopefully they can be of use. Thank you, Gracie, for being willing to also just be a backup there, just in case the control doesn't work from up here. In just a second, I'm going to read Psalm 103. And then after we read, then I'm going to pray and then just kind of walk through this devotionally together. And this just is a wonderful psalm. When Pastor Kyle asked me if I'd be willing to speak at family camp this year, he told me the theme was walking through or living in the Psalms, something like that. Had to pick out a psalm. And immediately I said to him, I'm not sure, let me pray, but if I do, Psalm 103 is where I would like to speak. And hopefully this will be a blessing. And I appreciate Kyle and Scott and Nevin. I appreciate their ministry, their wisdom, their oversight. I hope that you do too. And it is an honor to be able to speak tonight in front of you, though I don't consider myself a pastor or a preacher. Just a fellow brother, and it's a blessing to be able to be here. And so Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. And He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. I pray that it would take deep root in our lives, that the Holy Spirit, that You would speak to us tonight, that we might understand what You would say to us, that our hearts might be filled with Your joy, that our hearts might be filled with songs of praise that would just spill over into worship the one true and living God. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we're not going to necessarily walk verse by verse and go through all of this, because you're already looking at 22 verses and thinking, if you're going to preach something from every single verse, we're going to be here for a while tonight. Well, we're not going to do that, but I'm going to sum up some of these and just talk about how incredible this psalm is. I've been told that this is found in the fourth of five books that we find in the Psalms. I've been told there's five books, and this is in the fourth. And this is just a great psalm that reminds us that God is great, that there is great benefit in knowing Him and following Him according to His commands, and listing all of the benefits of that, and then great comparisons about how God really cannot be compared to anything else because He is so much greater, so much higher, so much more wonderful than you and I, and that God is eternal and that we're not, and that His throne is established forever, so all of earth and all of the trees and the pines and the wind blowing through and the starry host and the galaxies and all the people at Bates Creek and all the peoples in every place on this planet should bless the Lord, for He is good. Amen? And that's tonight's sermon. We can go. And now we're going to unpack that just a little bit. But the author of the psalm here begins by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Bless the Lord. Well, what exactly is going on here? What is going on here is the author is doing something that you and I all do, and that is, he is talking to himself. He's telling himself what it is that he needs to do. And again, you and I do this. Everyone does that. And don't try to deny it, because you're just going to be lying. Everybody here at some point talks to yourself. And in fact, some really cool people in the past have said, there's nobody who preaches to you more than you preach to yourself. So you better make sure that what you and I are preaching to ourselves is truth. And those are good words. So let's not be embarrassed to admit, it doesn't matter if you're a football star or any sort of other athlete or a carpenter or a car salesman or a preacher or whatever your position might be, whatever your vocation may be, whether you can bench 500 pounds or not even 45 pounds, don't be afraid to admit that you too, you talk to yourself. Let's just encourage one another to make sure that what we are saying to ourselves is true, is good, is honorable, and points us to Christ. And that's what's important. You see, in the New Testament, we see a very similar statement, such as what we find here. And Gracie, do you mind just advancing this for us? So Philippians 4:8, which says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Do you know that what you and I think about or meditate on eventually works its way into the rest of our lives? What we think about eventually impacts our desires, our hearts, and what controls our minds and our hearts eventually controls our actions. Therefore, you know the song that we teach kids, and you know what? We should sing this to ourselves as well. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. But we should also be saying, be careful, minds, what you think about. And oh, may our minds be filled with the greatness of God, with the glory of God, with the testimonies of God. And you see, that is the power we see in the Word of the Lord. If the Word of the Lord occupies our minds and our hearts, then you and I can know the will of the Lord and we can walk in it. We find that in Romans 12. Our minds can be renewed that we might walk in the light of that reality. Now, the guy in this passage isn't just talking to himself. He's doing something that some people might even consider more strange. If you think it's strange to talk to yourself, imagine if somebody stands in front of you and they begin talking to themselves in front of you. All right, now that's a little more odd, right? If somebody just stands up before you and they just start talking, well, you've seen people do that. You've probably done that. And somebody said, were you talking to me? No, I was just talking to myself. Okay, so we know that that gets done. So this guy that wrote this passage in Psalm 103 is standing up and he's talking to himself publicly and he's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgive not all his benefits. And so by him standing up and talking to himself, and him standing up and talking to himself publicly, he's saying to every single one of us and everybody that was listening at that time, he's setting an example to bless the Lord for all that he has done and do not forget any of his benefits. When I read this, I think of a pastor that recently passed away. Some of you may know him, Bob Winter. Probably one of the most intense guys that I've ever known. I recall a day whenever he was at the Baptist Park, and I saw this man in his 70s, and he was doing flips off the diving board in the pool behind the Baptist Park. And Bob, and the reason why he was, is he was interacting with a whole bunch of guys that were part of Hillsboro High School's football team. And they were there and they were kind of doing a workout. It's whenever we had a really, really hot summer. And here's Bob doing these flips and diving off the diving board. And then he gets all of these non-believing football players together and he just starts talking to them about their need to repent and believe in Jesus. And if you, Scott, you know him, so you know that that's just what he's like. And Bob was a fiery kind of preacher, and I loved to listen to him. And when he was talking, he would just stop mid-sentence and clap his hands and say, bless God! And he would just go on with it. And I'm just thinking, that's what's going on here. Is this writer of this passage is so caught up with the greatness of God that he's just proclaiming, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and don't forget even one of his benefits. So moving on, here we see, and I don't know about your Bible, but you know, like punctuation is real important. I love it that there's a colon after that. And forget not all his benefits. And then there's a list of just what all of those things are. We see that it's the Lord who forgives. Notice, not just some of the iniquities of his people, but as we sang here tonight, all the iniquities. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. You see, the guy that wrote this is talking about how God is working in every single thing, and there's nothing that you and I can do to escape God's power and control over his creation, and how he is working even through doctors and nurses and medicine, and even though we may not like them, pharmaceutical companies and so forth, to bring medicine. And you know where all of that stuff comes from? That comes from a good and gracious God who gave wisdom to man, who gave money to man, who gave the ideas to man that said, go find this plant over here and do something with it, and then somehow that and some other chemicals is going to make some sort of chemical that will end up bringing healing to a body that is sick. You may, and I and the world may be tempted to believe that healing comes through the hands of man, but this is a testimony that the healing of all diseases, the common cold to cancer to HIV, comes from God. He redeems our lives from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Scott, isn't that the word right there? The hesed, the the covenant kind of love, that loving kindness and tender mercies. And He satisfies our mouths with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You see, if we're thinking rightly, God provides everything that we need. He gives us strength. Well, how does God give us strength? Well, He gives us strength by providing food that feeds our bodies. He gives us everything that we need for life and godliness because God loves His people with a covenant love. He will never leave His people or forsake them. You and I can know that. And He crowns our heads with loving kindness. And He provides food. And that gives us strength like the eagle. Now, I don't know about you, but you already saw the picture of the eagle, so it's already a giveaway. Ever since you saw that, you've probably been thinking, why does He have an eagle up on this thing? And I just thought that it would be kind of cool just to think about this. Not trying to be cool, but I just think that it would be great. So can you put the picture of that eagle up there just so you can see it? How many people here like animals? Do you like animals? Yeah. I think just animals are very fascinating. And how many people, have you ever seen a bald eagle in person, maybe at the zoo? Yeah, great. It is a magnificent bird. It is strong. It's amazing how strong it is. I was actually reading a little bit about this, and I just to kind of give a little testimony of just how great and powerful and creative our God is. Where's Bill Loving? Where's Bill? All right, Bill, can you just stand up and like just make a fist or something like that, Bill, you know. There you go, right. You know, I would never arm wrestle Bill Loving because I would lose, but you already knew that. Probably everybody else here tonight would lose. There can be a competition afterwards if you want, a new tradition at family camp. You know, Bill Loving, I'm sure he has a strong grip, right? I'd hate to, if he were chasing me and he got a hold of me, I would hate to face the grip that he would have on me. I thought it would be fun to kind of talk about the strength of this eagle for just a second. How many people think that an eagle is something that's just like powerful? You know, like, yeah, it is. It's a powerful bird. But whenever you think of somebody like Bill Loving, you're thinking, an eagle's just a bird, right? I mean, it's just a bird. I mean, that's Bill Loving. I mean, he could arm wrestle the Hulk. Or, you know, I mean, but here's, according to HawkQuest, a bald eagle's grip is believed to be about 10 times stronger than the grip of the human hand. It's a bird. And God created something like that. It's amazing. For those of you who know what this means and the real significance of this, a bald eagle can exert upwards of 400 pounds per square inch. I saw a video this afternoon of an eagle swooping down and picking up a fox. Like, this is a bird. But you know what? This is something that God created that displays His majesty and His creativity and His beauty. And God controls even the eagles. And God cares for them. And He cares for you. And He cares for me. And God renews our strength like the strength of an eagle. And let me just remind us of something. When God does something, He doesn't just halfway do it. Everything that God does, He says in Genesis, we find, behold, it is very good. God is magnificent. Well, let's move on. The Lord has made His way known to His people, and He cares for those. It says here in verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You could say maybe that God cares for and executes righteousness for in today's day and age for all of those who are bullied. God doesn't get angry easily, and He is very merciful. Even though his children deserve punishment, I'm kind of summarizing and making this a devotional of this section. Even though his children deserve punishment for their actions and their attitudes, he hasn't punished them according to their badness. Children, don't ever let anyone tell you that the God of the Bible is a mean God. He is a really good God that cares about his covenant people. But just like Aslan, he is not a tame lion. He is not like anybody else. God is ferocious. And he will punish sin. But for those of us who belong to him, God has forgiven our sins, and we're going to see in this next section, and he has removed our iniquities. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. We see that the guy writing this then tries to describe the mercy and the forgiveness of God and tells us, as far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great God's mercy is for us. Now think about that for a second. It might be a little bit difficult for you and I to get our minds around that. Can anybody here tell us how far the heavens are above the earth? Does anybody here know? It's a long way.
Forever.
Right. Yes. That is. Thank you, Samuel. That's amazing, right? That's a great answer. Well, I figured I would show something here after the eagle. There should be a blank slide and then on. Well, keep going. One more. There we go. Yeah. Not the best picture of the world. But I wanted to show you an image from NASA. And this kind of displays. Up in the right-hand corner, you see the Canis Majoris dwarf, which is some language for big dog, Canis Majoris. But I figured I would choose whatever the closest galaxy is to our galaxy, okay, according to NASA, just to talk about how high are the heavens above the earth. So let's just say, let's just choose whatever the closest galaxy is to where the galaxy where we live. Are you with me? Are you falling asleep yet? I just want you to see this. Just thought it would be good. If you and I were able to travel in the speed of the Voyager, which goes really fast. I don't know exactly how fast. It's kind of like watching a version of Wonder Pets whenever they get the phone call and they're like, the phone is ringing. This is Sirius. And they answer the phone and then they get on there and some helpless animal's in trouble and then they just get in the flyboat and they show up there and you're wondering, how do you know so much about Wonder Pets? But if we were able to travel faster than the flyboat and travel the speed of the Voyager, it would take us approximately, now get this, this is the closest galaxy according to NASA. I'm not a scientist. It would take us approximately 749 million years to get there. For those of you who know what a light year is, if we could travel at the speed of light, it would take 25,000 light years to get there. Can you show that next slide there, Gracie? Should be a number. That's how many miles the closest galaxy is from where we are tonight. That's 146 quadrillion, 643 trillion, 601 million, no, a billion, sorry. 146 quadrillion, 643 trillion. Thank you. 601 billion, 368 million, 9,984. Thank you so much for all of this. That's how many miles it is away. You think about how big that number is. 100 seconds, 1.5 minutes. 1,000 seconds, 17 minutes. 1,000,000 seconds, 11 days, 13 hours, and 46 minutes. 1,000,000,000 seconds, what do you think? A couple months? No. 31 years and 8 months. A trillion seconds? 32,000 years. Do you like to count? How many here like to count? Working on counting 1 to 10? Yeah. Try this one out. Try counting to a trillion sometime. If you were able to count nonstop 24 hours a day, it would take you 200,000 years. A quadrillion seconds, 32 million years. It would take over 200 million years to count nonstop for a quadrillion seconds. Why do I bring this up? That's just a real fancy way of describing just how far God has removed his sin. And even more from his people. Folks, we serve a very big God. What we just described is the closest galaxy to us. We're not even talking about the furthest that we know. God is great. God is amazing. So whenever we say, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so far as He removed our transgressions from His people, we're talking about big forgiveness here. Why in the world would we bring this up tonight? Well, maybe there are some here tonight that your mind is fixated on your sin. And you maybe need to hear tonight that as far as the east is from the west, God has removed the sin of His people and He has placed it on Jesus Christ, who died after living a perfect life, suffering the wrath of God in the place of His people, and He raised Him from the dead, and He is alive and well, and there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus paid it all. Maybe you and I tonight need to be reminded of the greatness of God in salvation. Maybe we need to be reminded tonight of the great lengths to which God has gone to remove the sin of His people. And folks, we need to be reminded that in Jesus Christ, there in Him alone, there is forgiveness of sin. And He has taken our iniquities from us and put them on His Son. No one can describe how far the heavens are above the earth. No one can describe how far the east is from the west. It's indescribable. God's faithfulness to His people is indescribable. And even though God is so big and so powerful, merciful and kind, He cares for His children the way a father rightly cares for his children. That's what this psalm is saying. What a beautiful picture. And we see here in verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And as for man, his days are like grass. And we see here that every man, every woman will eventually fail, and they do not last. Everyone here will not last. We have all failed. One day, we will be forgotten about. I'm not trying to be negative here, just trying to describe something that is so great about God. You see, man is here. You and I are here right now. But in just like that, we're going to be gone. And there's going to be generations to come.
But you see, God is different. He will never be forgotten. For as the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. God will never be forgotten. His forgiveness and His mercy is something that will be talked about, sung about, and proclaimed forever and ever and ever and ever. His faithfulness to the children here tonight, the children that's, if you're 2, 3, 4, 5, His greatness will be proclaimed to you. His greatness will be talked about to your future grandchildren of the children that are here, and to the grandchildren of the grandchildren of the grandchildren of the children here. The Lord's greatness will never cease to be proclaimed. It goes on and on and on and on to those who remember His commandments to do them. He says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And so He's calling heaven and earth to bless the Lord for His great works. So if we were to think, like at the very beginning, one way that we could summarize all of this, just 4 quick things. There is great benefit in knowing and walking with the Lord. Friends, you and I would do well to remember and just start naming. You know, Woody, I'm sorry we couldn't sing Count Your Blessings tonight. You guys sung it when we switched up the schedule on you. But when you start naming one by one everything that God has done, bless the Lord. He's redeemed your life. Bless the Lord. He's... Sam McClure survived the car wreck. Bless the Lord. Yes. Debbie Golic's surgery. I heard it went well. Bless the Lord. Yes. The Lord just saved you. Bless the Lord. The Lord just saved your friend, saved your kid, saved your parent. Bless the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we would do well to remember all of the benefits, as this psalm says. And secondly, God's faithful and unchanging love is so great that you and I will never fully and completely be able to describe it. It's indescribable. It's amazing that He does not punish us the way our sins deserve, but He put all of our sin, and Jesus Christ bore our punishment. That is the poet John Donne, I've said it before, says something great, how Jesus is so much different than the other kings on this earth, that kings have the power to pardon. He says, kings pardon, but He, speaking of Jesus Christ, bore our punishment. Jesus is greater than any other king. Bless the Lord. He bore our punishment, taking on God's wrath and securing and guaranteeing a salvation for His people. Point 3, unlike God, man comes and goes. We're only going to be here a short time. I know you may think that you're tough. You may think that you go to the gym and you can bench. You might be that person that's standing at the mirror taking that selfie right at the gym, got the arm curl going on. But I guarantee you it's going to be gone before you know it.
Yeah.
But God is forever. And because of all of these things and so much more, it is right for all of heaven and for all of earth to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Bless the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Bless the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Bless His holy name. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But maybe we should close kind of like this. You know, you may think, man, you know, most days I don't feel like that. I don't wake up clicking my heels and just saying, bless the Lord. It's a good day. It's 5 a.m. I got to go to work. Bless God. Neither do I. In fact, you know, can I be honest with you and just say, many days I'm selfish. Many days I want what I want. I want to be comfortable. I'm tempted to, the first thing is, rather than saying, bless the Lord, I'm picking up my phone. I kind of want to know what's happening, how many notifications and so forth. You and I would be served well if we just let the praise of God be on our lips. Are you struggling with depression? Are you struggling with feeling inadequate, inferior? Are you feeling weighted down by sin? Are you feeling weighted down because of sinful thoughts? Are you weighted down because of sinful actions? If you are in Jesus Christ, confess your sins to the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Bless the Lord. And forget not one of His benefits. If maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, I don't know about any of this stuff. In fact, I don't really know. I don't really love God. I don't know God. Maybe tonight you're thinking about that. Then I want to beg you, while there is time, seek the Lord while He may be found. And call upon Him and be saved. What does that mean? Confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe upon Him and be saved. And we will bless the Lord with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord. And forget not one of His benefits. Praise the Lord. So as kind of a different closing here tonight, we're going to, Luke and their family, they're going to lead us in singing in just a second. Maybe it'd be good, Kyle kind of mentioned that we could have some sort of time of response. And maybe it would be good if you could just begin thinking right now while we prepare to sing about maybe just one sentence of testimony of how you would just maybe like to publicly bless the name of the Lord tonight. For the glory of God and for the encouragement of everybody here. I mean, I know not everybody's going to be able to do that. Maybe not everybody wants to do that. But maybe there might be some here tonight that would just like to stand up and bless the Lord with just one sentence of praise. And we'll give some time for that. Does anybody here want to stand up and just praise the Lord for His goodness?